Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the healer's in the house by his Spirit. He is here. The scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. Praise God. First chapter of Jeremiah. So to see these things is very, very important. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Praise God. Then 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, it is so important to see these things with your eyes. The 7th verse, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. 3 places that you can see the will of God. Number 1, in heaven. And Jesus prayed and said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? Well, of course not. Amen. And there are, God has names, and one of his names, that one of his redemptive names is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals you. For him to ever stop healing, he would have had to have changed his name. But no, no. You know, right there in that little book of Micah, he said, I am God and I change not. I'm not about to change. And James said it like this, there is no shadow of turning in him. Now, what did that mean? Well, think about a sundial. That's the only way they had of telling time. Well, you have to have a shadow to tell time by the sun. And how you know it's midday is there's no shadow. There you have it. There's no shadow of turning in him. He just doesn't change. It's noon with him all the time. He is the bright, shining God. And we're born of the light. Hallelujah. So, now, to see the will of God in heaven, the will of God on earth, Jesus of Nazareth, the will of God in action. Amen. And you see him in action. That's the will of God. And read it for yourself. Great multitudes. How many people would be a great multitude? That's a lot of people. And he healed them all. There's no telling what kind of people were in that audience. None of them were born again. That didn't happen until after he went to the cross and was raised from the dead. Amen. All of them had need of a healer. All of them. And all of them that would believe what he said, that was the only requirement. Except he talked about repent, forgive. And what we read in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, you can see from what Peter preached at Cornelius' house that he preached this everywhere he went. Everywhere. And when the woman with the issue of blood had heard of Jesus, I'm convinced that's what she heard. Somebody came and told her, let me tell you what he said. They very well may have written it down. Because whatever it was, it brought faith, as we'll see, for her healing. Now, look with me at the 10th chapter of Matthew. The 7th verse. Well, let's go back up to the first. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness. He gave them authority to do that. Well, how are they going to do it? Because he said so. Did they have to feel anything? No. He just gave them, they just had to believe what he said. All manner of disease, and there are people that say, well, he did this to prove that he was the Son of God, and to prove that he was divine. Now, since I was not blessed with a Pentecostal background that believed that, now, and I'm not criticizing that, because Brother Hagin believed that at one time, and Jesus straightened him out. But I didn't know all that. And then when I began to read about it, I thought, well, hey, if he healed them, he healed me. I mean, what did I do that I don't qualify? None of those people qualified either. It just made sense to me because I didn't have the background behind it that set me up to fail. And to, I'm optimistic anyway. If anybody got it, I plan on doing it myself. When I was a little boy, I wanted to do everything. We went to an ice skating rink one day, and I threw a fit ice skate. My daddy said, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. And I'd never been up close to it before. But I always figured I could rather than to figure that I could not. Amen. And the reason I was that way, because my parents were like that. I have to tell you this because this will help you, and particularly with children and particularly with people in the church. Now, when I was a young boy, I just drew airplanes all over everything. And so right at the close of World War II, and they realized that, you know, this thing's over. So they released civil aviation to fly. We lived there in Abilene, and a friend of my dad's, I never did know who it was, called him and said, we're going to be flying Mr. Wooten's airplane. It was a Lockheed 12, the same type airplane that Amelia Earhart flew. So it was a nice airplane. And we went out there. Would you and your son like to come? And so then they put me up in the front seat. And the man that was flying it looked at me and he said, "Don't you touch anything." He must have seen the glaze in my eyes. I sat on my hands. And we flew all around Abilene, and they got on the ground, and the door was stuck, and it took another 20 minutes to get it open. And I was flying. I got off of the ground. I actually looked down on the ground. I'm just beside myself. Now, I didn't know anything about you can have what you say. We were walking. We left the airplane there in front of the hangar. Everybody else left. And so I had my dad by the hand, and we were walking out, and I stopped, and I turned around. I said, "Daddy, I'm going to do that." He said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to fly airplanes." He said, "Boy, you can do that." Amen. See, he didn't, "Well, you can't do that. You'll ever kill yourself." No. "Boy, you can do that." And I did. And found out later I was called to do it. Well, now, keep I wrote this in the front of this Bible. Always stay on the God side of everything. Always stay on His side. Always. He's always right the first time. Amen. So, now back to the 10th chapter of Matthew. Well, in that 9th chapter, isn't that good? Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Preaching, teaching, and healing. That's what he was about. But he was not doing this to prove his deity. He was doing it because his Father commanded him to do it. Amen. So, now he called them, gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then it gives all of their names. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Say, commanded them. So now, his commandment, when Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, commanded something, what's the difference in that and the Ten Commandments? No, he commanded. He commanded. So if they would obey the command, they get the results. So he commanded them go preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat." Another place it says, the workman is worthy of his hire. He chose them. He picked them. But he said, "You're working for me now. Leave your money at home. You're working for me." Now then, so whatever city or town you enter, and so forth and so on. Well, what I wanted you to see, he hired them and commanded them. hired him and commanded him. Heal the sick and raise the dead. This is what we do. I came to do the will of the Father. He didn't say, pick out the ones you think are worthy. No, the only thing he said about that, you find a house to stay in that's worthy. Don't be staying with a bum, you know. And don't go be running around all over town. Stay there. But then bless that house. Now, that tells a traveling preacher something. You don't need to be running around all over town and just run in just, you know, just right before the service and you know, take a quick shower and everything, run over there and say, thus saith the Lord. No, it doesn't work well like that. So now, let's go to the 10th chapter of Luke. Now, the job got so big, praise God. It got so big, there were so many people that Jesus needed help, and his staff wasn't big enough to do it. They needed help. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also. Now, what does appoint mean? He ordained them. And there are some translations, I understand, say that. And sent them two and two before the face of every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, harvest truly is great, but laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord, therefore, of the harvest. He would send laborers into the field. Go your way. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And he said the same thing to them. You're working for me now, so don't take purse or money and all that. Just stay with me, and I'll take care of everything. And into whatever house you enter, first say, peace. Now, we know now what he was saying. Say this. Peace. Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in this house. So he's telling them, you put your peace. So it's his peace, right? Yes. And then that house will prosper. Amen. Shalom is translated prosperity. It's translated heal and wholeness. Amen. So bring that into that house. He didn't say, go in there and correct all those people now. Straighten them out. No, he said, bring peace in there. Well, there might have been some problems in that house. Not anymore. In the book of Revelation, you see it. He said, I'm knocking on the door. If you will open up, if you will invite me in, if you will invite me in, I will sup with you. In other words, if you'll invite me in for dinner. This is an Eastern book. You have to go back to the customs and the ideas and the knowledge. If you'll invite me in, then I will pay all the rent. I will pay for all the food. I will take care of everything in that house. If you just let me in. If you will, and I'm saying this now. Listen to what I'm saying. If you will invite me into your heart. That's really what he was talking about. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. If you will invite me in, I will prosper you. I will take care of you. Amen. I'll take care of your spirit, soul, and body, and financially, and socially. So, but you can see, heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your way out in the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves unto us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But then once you've said that, forget it. Don't even worry about it. What's he saying? Put it behind you. Shake the dust of your feet off. Amen. Now, by saying things like that, that immediately, by obeying Jesus, that immediately put that city in the hands of God to see to it, that they're taught, to see to it that the work of the devil there is broken. Amen? So see his will. If everything, always heal the people. Get somebody well. Heal the people.
My name is Brooke Capehart, and my husband and I have been married for 15, almost 16 years. We have 3 boys, and we are pastors in Cyprus, actually church planters. We started Harvest Family Church 10 years ago in 2011. So I have always been very athletic, always been very health conscious, and have always been really strong and healthy, and never had any issues with my body or anything like that. And after my 3rd son was born, almost a year after, I would say, I one day was vacuuming my living room and just felt this horrible shooting pain in my middle back that sent me to the floor. I had gone to the ER initially because the pain was so bad. I thought for sure I had broken my back or something, which I had not broken it, but they did confirm there was just some issues going on, to see a specialist and all those things. So that began the long road of trying to get better. And I just felt like, you know what? I don't even know what to do anymore. And I just was desperate. And so, I mean, this has been the last almost 8 years of trying probably 15 different chiropractors. I've had MRIs. I've had probably 3 different MRIs. I've had x-rays. I even saw a chiropractor in Indiana, Shipshawana, Indiana. And he was actually one of the greatest, because after I had my last MRI, he was the one that called me. And he did a really thorough, I don't know what you call it, like screen to screen share, where he walked through my whole MRI with Paul and I, and was explaining disc by disc what was going on. And that's when I realized how horribly bad my back actually was. So we have watched the Miracles on the Mountain years past. And this year, for whatever reason, which I know is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, I told my husband, we have to be there. Like, I have to be in that service. I knew it. It was like drawing me. And I've been believing for my healing for years, and I've been confessing the word. And so none of that was new to me, but for whatever reason, it was like, this was my time. And so I knew going into it, it was for me. If it was for no one else there, it was for me. And so my faith was like through the roof. I had my hands raised, and I heard him say, what did he say?
Since you had that last child, you're having some issues in your lower back. You've noticed that since you had your last child, there's issues there in your lower back. Who is this?
And he put his hand on me, and I went down. And I think I was down, Paul said it was close to like 3.5 hours, maybe longer. I mean, it felt like 30 seconds, you know, but it was so refreshing. Like I just felt the Lord just speak to me that he was doing surgery on me. And so I knew he was doing a work. And when I got up, I was able to stand up. I was able to bend over. It's been absolutely incredible being able to do things again. And just simple things like bending over to pick something up off the floor. And my two oldest are select baseball players. So baseball is life for us. So I'm able to get out there and run around and play where before I couldn't even hardly run. So being able to throw the baseball and run around and just go do whatever without any thought of horrible pain as a result of it. To be connected with such a powerful ministry that is doing things all throughout the world, going places we couldn't go and touching people that we couldn't physically touch, to be partnered up with that ministry, we're right there. We're a part of that. And we get the rewards of it because we're partnered with the ministry. And it's life-giving. It's something that we will forever be a part of.
Did you know the word in the Bible for salvation is the same word for healing? God's power that saved you is just as available to heal you. Get Gloria Copeland's audio teaching, Healing School, and find out how divine health is yours through your covenant in Christ. For over 50 years, Gloria Copeland has taught on God's healing and helped people around the world be transformed through the power of God's word. The Bible says He heals all your disease. He's not just able, He's willing. When you know God's will, your thinking, speaking, and praying changes to be full of faith in what He says. Sickness is from the enemy, so learn to submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil through the Word of God, and the enemy will flee from you. Understand that healing was God's idea, not man's. Receive the love and mercy of God, who calls Himself your healer. Be a student of the Word of God and grow your faith as you go to Healing School with Gloria Copeland. Go to Healing School with Gloria Copeland. Request your free audio teaching on MP3 disc or as a digital download on kcm.org/victory offer. You can also request your copy when you call 877-615-4267. God has made healing available to you through Jesus. Take hold of what is yours today. Offers good for 60 days. Outside of the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Dwayne Munoz, Associate Dean of Kenneth Copeland Bible College. This week's broadcast came from a special healing service called Healing School that we have at every KCM meeting. In today's message, Brother Copeland shared that one of God's redemptive names is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. It is God's will for you to be healed. In about a month, we're having our Southwest Believers Convention, August 1st through the 6th, at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest for a week-long event of praise, worship, and the preaching of God's Word. Healing School is Saturday morning, August 6th, so plan to come to the whole meeting and build your faith to receive your healing. The Southwest Believers Convention is a great way to feed your faith with the Word and renew your mind to believe and receive God's promises. There are children and youth services, so bring the whole family. To pre-register for this event, go to kcm.org. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Dwayne Munoz reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls kcm.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.